and I grew up together here in Leedy. He came over here from as a freshman from Camargo, the Camargo Blackhawks, and I was so glad that he chose to come to Leedy instead of Visalie because we needed help on our ball teams, on our basketball and baseball teams. And so we've been friends for a long time, and we've walked together in this journey called faith, and I've seen God do awesome things in him and his family's lives. Just one little short story about how Mark and I got connected after we graduated from high school was I was in Elk City attending a church there, and we went to Promise Keepers. And so if you remember the Promise Keepers, the men's movement. And so we was in Dallas, Texas, and at the football stadium at that time that they had. And, I mean, this place was just packed with men and worshiping God. And it's a moving, very moving experience. And I think there were 60 to 70,000 men there that night. And I came with the church out of Elk City. And lo and behold, they placed us out of 60 to 70,000 men. We were seated right behind Leedy, the men from Leedy. And Mark was with them. And as they gave the invitation, I saw Mark go down front. And I was praying for Mark at that time. And it was so neat because afterwards we were going back to go to our vehicles and we met each other down in the parking lot. And it was just divinely appointed both. And so we've been connected ever since then. And lo and behold, God began to show me when we started this church here in Leedy, and Mark and Carrie and their family helped us charter this church. They're the charter members. They've been here since we started. They've been through the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, and they're still here, praise God. And but God showed Mark and I early on that, hey, we're connected in this thing called ministry, in this thing called life, and we've been connected ever since. So I want you to give a big, warm welcome to Mark Ward this morning as he brings the word to us this morning. Love you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you, brother. Amen. Awesome. I thought he was going to give my whole message there for a minute. You were going right at it, Pastor. I'm going to jump ahead to one part of it because when I got to Dallas, Arlington, I guess, can I say Redskins? Can I still say that? Is that proper? I'm an Indian. I can say that, Pastor. Yeah, I can still say that. It's appropriate today. I was not a Dallas fan, so it was in Arlington. All right. I shouldn't say that around here very loud. There's a lot of Dallas fans around here. But when I got there, I'm just going to lead with that because it's just what I feel God's saying there. But I turn around and look, and Pastor Mark, as I mean worshiping God, to the point I'm like, what happened to this guy? Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with you, Pastor? I'm going, something happened. We're not that old. I can't remember how old we were, but I turn around and I go, he has lost it, okay? And then I look around at Promise Keepers, and every man was doing that. And then I got the freedom before we left there to do that. And I actually had a man in this town, I'm going to say this, Doug Quattlebaum. Oh, Doug. Whew, that's going to break me now. Didn't even plan to go there today. Pastor, you broke that in. Just old Doug down here just goes, hey, Mark, you want to go to Promise Keepers with me? You never know, guys. Life-changing right here, I'm sitting here telling you. Just because I had a man go, hey, you want to go to Promise Keepers with me? Just a good old boy. We affect people, Pastor. Yeah. And I found out later Pastor Mark was not nuts, okay? It took a little while, but he wasn't crazy. In fact, who would think that I would be here doing worship? That's what makes that entire story so ironic, that we would sit here and do worship as unworthy vessels, amen? Yeah, only worthy by my Savior today, amen? Boy, I can testify to that all day and all night, and this message is going to go into that because it's going to talk about the idea, a little bit, it's going to go that the idea of our righteousness can only come from God. I stand before you today by the word, filthy rags, no more in the presence of the glory of the Almighty and my Savior in Jesus' name. Wow, I can clean myself up as much as I want. And by the word of God, he would tell you today that we are dirty rags in the presence of the glory of Almighty God. So I get up this morning and go, God, again, I'm not worthy today. It's okay, Mark. My son paid the price. And you know what, guys? Here's what I'll tell you. I know it. and I can stand before you to represent the grace of God. That's all God ever told me to do. What's the scripture say, Pastor? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Well, my only testimony is this. Without Jesus, I'm not very good. Yes. Amen. So we have to humble ourselves to God's mighty hand every day. I have to, and I have to go, God, wow, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my family, and I need you to take care of them, God, because I can't. I'm not that good. Wow, I put my children in front of God, my home in front of God, and I mess it up, it seems like, daily, and stub my toe and mess around with it, but I try, though. God's like, just keep coming, Mark. Just keep grinding. Keep coming towards me. And I just keep going. You know, the enemy wants to throw punches and seasons in life, and you'll go up and down, and you'll go through different things. And every time, there's always a place when I learn is Jesus is my Savior yesterday, today, and forever, Pastor. Amen. And somebody needs to hear that. And I'll tell you one more thing. God is huge at about appointments. And every moment and every day, we don't embrace it. We get normal. We get normalized, and we sit here today that we're going to go through the motions of this day, and we sit here going, it's just another day, and God's like, no, it's not. Do you understand the power and the victory of salvation that God wants to bring to this house today in Jesus' name? Woo! And he's like, Mark, my people need to be set free, and I didn't call you out of darkness to take that position lightly. I didn't also take your sins away to stand in front of my people in weakness, but in power and authority in the name of Jesus, even though I'm not worthy. Wow. Because I will speak it all day and night that God is worthy in Jesus' name. And today, people need to be set free only by the power of my Savior and have zero to do with me. We're going to talk about that today too. Because God wants to do a plan by, what would you call it, undeserving servants? We're going to get into that with the Jesus' first miracle today because it's a powerful message. And I was struggling to try to find where it was at because to overcome, this entire thing's overcome. You want to start trying to find a message in this, man. It's a pretty big deal. In fact, this morning I almost changed the whole thing. You've been there, haven't you, Pastor? I got up and I go, God, are you taking me somewhere totally different? Again, prepared all week, but hopefully we're going to stay the course today. So before we go any further, I want to pray, okay? Let's just pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord. I come to you in Jesus' name, God, and I bow before your mighty hand. God, I just throw any crown, anything that would try to come in, anything that is not of you, God, at your feet today. God, you alone are worthy. You're worthy for your people today. You're worthy for me. By the blood of your Son and the victory at the cross, when you rose from the dead, God, you set us free. You set me free today. God, I just humble myself to your word, to your voice, to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and minister to your people today and bring victory and salvation to this house and that it would go forth and cannot come back void by your word, that your word will stick today. God, and we just give you praise for what will take place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, overcome is that's our theme, right, Pastor? So I started to look into it and I go, well, let's just be simple and set the stage for what overcome means, okay? So I looked up the definitions. Succeed, defeat, an opponent, prevail to overcome an enemy, right, or an opponent. So I went, who's the opponent? In Christian theology, the world, the flesh, and the devil are often traditionally described as the three enemies of the soul. I have overcome the world. Amen. We listen to that voice. Who listens to their flesh? Don't raise your hand. Pretty sure that'd be everybody at times. Those are our sources of temptation. Amen. We live in a fallen world. And that temptation is around us today. So I looked at Ephesians 6:12, and I love this scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, I used to look, I'm just going to pick out Ronnie. I would look at Ronnie and say, Ronnie's my enemy. You know, this person is. No. People are not your enemy. It's powers and principalities and it's people. It's wicked things that engulf all of us, that are around all of us every day, that can trip us up, that can cause us to act wrong. When I was praying this morning with the worship team, I'm like, you know, I get to a point sometimes right before I pray. I want to know if any of you experience this. The Holy Spirit's there. I'm praying. I'm going, God, show me something today. And I'm like, I'm pretty good. I feel I'm prayed up, kind of ready to go. And then you go a little deeper, and you go a little deeper, and then worship sets in. And you start to realize that you're really not. And then you realize that it goes a little deeper because God's got a work to do. even though I can feel clean at times going, I'm ready for this word, God. And then I go a little deeper, and it pricks my heart. Then I just break, and then we get in worship, and I break harder, and I'm going, and I start to go, God, will we ever get there? And the answer would be no. Can I ever get to a place that I don't need more of you, God? Woo! But we start going, well, then I'm not worthy because I messed up, so I'm not any good. We're going to learn about that today. So overcome. Wrestle against flesh and blood. Wow. How do we overcome? I'm going to read the scripture, 1 John 5, 4, and 5, as we set the stage for this word today. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There it is. Pretty much I've got one goal in life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and therefore I have the ability to overcome the world. He gave me that position and that right, and he bound me in it and sealed me in it, and I cannot be snatched out of the hand of God under many scriptures. But this one here sets me free. You see what I'm saying? Because we're all at this place where we start, the enemy brings the doubt in our flesh, the doubt in the world, and these different things. And how many times do we just need another miracle? Prove yourself one more time, God. Can you give me another one tomorrow? We all pray like that, don't we? God, fix it tomorrow. Please, I need another one. Just let me win the game. I need to hit a home run here. I'm better than they are. My team needs to win, God. You know, I mean, I just use that as an analogy because I coach. We can kind of relate to that, you know. My son needs to get a hit in college today, or my son Luke needs to make an A on a math test, and Grace needs to score every run when she gets on base, you know. Come on, Lord, help me out, you know, and we do that. Who needs to overcome something today? All of us. Amen. Now I'll raise my hand. God wants you to get free with that today. Just be free with it, because I believe people are going to get set free. Woo, and I can feel it. And we're going to get set free, and someone's going to get saved today in Jesus' name. Salvation's coming to this house, and the power and authority of salvation is coming into your life. And victory starts walking out at a higher level if you are saved today. See, because I went into this, and I said, God, what's it mean to overcome? There's two parts of that. God showed me in my entire ministry, you're one of two people, and I stand here before you, one of these two people today. I'm either saved, or I need to start walking in the fullness and the victory of that salvation. Which one are you today? Because I'll promise you, you're one of or the other. And I believe that salvation will come to this house today for somebody and somebody listening. But I really believe that we all, including myself, need to start walking in the power of the full victory of Jesus Christ and play the next second and look forward in life and believe in great things. You know what happens whenever I start struggling or things get bad? It's right before my victory. I just need to press in and hold on to God. I just need to be obedient and continue to walk in faith in the midst of my struggle. And as that struggle comes, just keep pushing forward, because on the other side of that, by faith, God will honor that. And the enemy doesn't like it, and he'll scratch and scream. And sometimes it gets where it's hard. Amen, Pastor? Sometimes it gets where it's hard. But when you've tasted the goodness of the good wine, that's where we're going to go with this message today. Woo. I always go back the same place. I've tripped hard. You ever wreck a bike when you're a kid really hard? You're like, man, I don't know if we get back on that bike. Skin your hands, you know, bad. I've wrecked my bike many times. But somehow, the power of the blood of my Savior, I get right back on it. Let's just go back to pedaling, Lord. Someone needs to hear that today. Amen. Okay, so seasons of change. Right before we get into it, I wrote down, first of all, focus on one of those two things. Who are you today? Because there's going to be something come to you today, because the Holy Spirit has the power to do that with all of us. Okay, I don't know how he'll do it with you, but he can do that if you'll open your heart and mind to seek him. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you really will open your heart enough to stop right now and seek him and don't look at me or think that it's about me and think about the Holy Spirit of God, he'll meet you where your need is. He'll reveal your need to you. And he'll set you free. He'll bring you more victory, and he'll bring you salvation, and we can all walk in the power of that if we just choose to accept it by faith. That's the key. Seasons in life, constantly overcoming some battle. God, who's doing that? So I wrote this down. As I'm going through life, okay, I'm just going to give you a word of my testimony, right, Pastor? We can do that. So word of my testimony. I'm going along. I got little kids. I'm doing team spirit. I'm doing ministry. It's all good. I reach a place and a level and a plateau, and things going good. I'm writing some books. Things are going along. My kids get in high school. My kids get in the world. two or three kids. I got kids in college now. And every time along this way, there's these new seasons that bring forth new challenges, more slip-ups in my flesh for Mark to fail. You see what I'm saying? So as we grow, what I've learned with God is he's good enough that the battle's good. The battle you face actually, if you'll get in with God and get on top of it and begin to write out who God is and seek him in all of your battles, what I've learned is the battles are your greatest thing because he wants us to transform and become better. He wants us to move in a direction. And that's hard because our battles sometimes are very difficult. And I know a lot of people in here have faced terrible trials. The fallen world that we live in is not God. But I'll promise you this, he's bigger and he's overcome this world and he's got great things for you, and let's move forward and let's see him reveal that to me. And the problem was in my life, guys, and I'll get into this word, was I didn't think he could be that good. You can't fix this, God. Someone needs to hear this today. God is saying, yes, I can. God is would tell you that today. Yes, I can. Oh, I love you, Mark, and I love your family. I love your children. And I love everything about what I created. That's what God would say today. I love everything about my creation. Yeah. And I sit there and I go, but God, can you take care of my children? Someone needs to hear this. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Okay, I'm going to go to John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the world is one of those three things. So the world we face is fallen, and Jesus has overcome that. And then Romans 12, I'm going to skip one, Carrie. I'm going to go to Romans 12:21. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, I went down this road, guys, of everybody was doing evil to me. Well, I can trump that. I'm just better doing evil than you are. I can call you out on it. I can tell you what I think better than you can tell me. And I can blame you for my problems, and we'll just have a fight about who's worse. Woo! Every time I get over there in the enemy's playing ground, you know who wins? Nobody. Every time I choose to attack evil with evil, I lose. And it's hard because the umpire has got to call a strike when it's a strike, Pastor. And I'm going to tell him that it's a strike. No, and you really get to that place. You guys can relate, right? We got to get past that. So we have to overcome evil with good. Even in this crazy political world we're looking in, man, I can't even go there because every time Carrie just goes, stop it. Because I just get enraged, guys. God would tell us all this. Put this Facebook down. Stop it. If you want to hear a word from God, just stop listening because the enemy's speaking more than to us. And I got to go there. I say this about every week. We have got to stop, okay? Because the problem is we're hearing more of the world than we are of God. What's your percentage today? He's going to have you pick. Wow. If your percentage is 95% the world, then you need to do something different. Okay? He would tell us all that. Okay, so we're going to go into the eight miracles. We're only going to go into the first miracle of Jesus. And there's eight miracles. I learned a lot, Pastor. I became a teacher. I was really digging in. I was learning. So I was going to try to be Pastor Mark and teach. And there was eight miracles. I'm going to tell you what they are before we go into this. Well, in the book of John, the first miracle is turning the water into wine in Cana. That's what I'm going to preach on today. Then there was healing an official's son in Capernaum, healing an invalid in the pool of Bethesda, feeding the 5,000, walking on the water, Sea of Galilee, you guys know that, healing a blind man in Jerusalem, raising Lazarus from the dead, and then Jesus rose from the dead. Now, Jesus was here actively engaged in all those first miracles, and then he was on the other side in the last one. So it was seven here, and there was eight miracles in the book of John. Okay, and what I learned about this, I'm going, wow, this is cool. It had been 450 years till there had been a recorded miracle whenever Jesus turned the water into wine. 450 years since Daniel had shut the mouths of the lion. You know the story. Daniel goes in the lion's den. That's the last written recorded miracle. 450 years later, Jesus is basically a young man, right? And he's going to perform this first miracle. He's going to turn the water into wine. I didn't think I was going. I was trying to get into repentance, and I was trying to go, God, you want us to overcome, you know, show me about salvation, you know. It was like, and we went straight here because it's about the first miracle that he wants for you today and all of us. there's a reason that it's the most important if we read the word. Okay, so let's go into that. Miracle of Jesus, first of all, these miracles were not just meant to amaze us, it was meant to instruct us. So we got to listen inside of the scripture and find out what this miracle's telling us. Okay, so in John 2, 1 through 11, Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet." We all know what the hour would be, right? His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now they're set. There are 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." Whew. Jesus is the good wine here. And you know what he is? He's on the other side. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And we're going to get to that. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and they manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Okay, so let's go through this a little bit. There's 5 key points. If you want to, Pastor, I haven't got 5 points. I'm learning here to teach, okay? 5 key points. Turning the water into wine, it symbolizes conversion, transformation, and change. Okay? That's what happens, and that's who God is. Okay? And what I want to talk on this point, the conversion of wine takes a long time to get the good wine. And this is instantaneously changed to the good wine. He's the creator of all things. We have to understand that God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? So instantly right here, Jesus made the good wine. And that's why, now if you imagine if you're there and you're the servants, you're going, "What? How does this happen?" But you know what the servants had to be, and we're going to get into that? Obedient. Okay. And that's what's good. Okay, turning the water to wine proves Jesus was the master of creation. If you know Jesus as Savior, you're God's creation. And you are the miracle today. I've heard some young people tell me, "I've never seen a miracle." I have. So many, I can't believe it. I can look at my family, my children, my life. The transformation of God has done in me, even as a failure, and I didn't deserve a bit of it. But I was obedient and chased him hard and surrendered my soul to my Lord. And God would ask us today, are we ready to do that, or do we want to go deeper? See, thank God, Pastor, he called me deeper. I never dreamed I'd do this, and I never dreamed he would give me an anointing to speak, but because I was the least of the speakers. I was the runner of the speaking. I was the run as fast as you can when anybody told me to speak. It's a good word, and I use my English well. I'm a runner. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." This is still in point one. Conversion, transformation, change. Okay? Jesus is the first miracle. The first one for me was this one. Because I had transformed. Something had happened inside of me. And I'm going to get to this, but I didn't care what anybody thought. Okay? Someone needs to hear that. You have to get to a point, it's you and God at some point. We have to hit the bottom, it's just you. My wife and I are really close. We have a relationship with Jesus together, but we were also worshiped by ourselves. We have our own personal relationship with God, and we have one together. I'm not her Savior. She's not mine. Wow, someone needs to hear that too. Okay. Not everyone was aware of the change. So this is point two. Not everyone was aware of this change. Okay. So the people around me weren't. Mary, the servants, and the disciples. Not everyone will be aware of your inward change. And that's hard. You look the same. You show up. I used to go places where people were looking at me, but I'm not that guy. And it took me about 6 months to really want to go anywhere at one point in time. I don't want to go see people. But we're just going to say, there's that guy that, someone needs to hear that too. I'll promise you someone needs to hear that here. I need to hear that. I didn't want to go anywhere. They're just going to be like, there's that guy, same guy. Even though I looked the same on the outside, something had changed inside of me. And thank God for it. The outside of the pots. This is point three. It has to do with point two, but it's point three. The outside of the pots didn't change. Only inside of it had changed. So when they had the pots and they brought them out, they just looked like the same pots, right? And they filled them up with water. And I want to put this in there. They filled it to the brim. I always thought, why is that in there, God? They filled it to the brim. And there's a point there. When God fills you up, it's complete. Okay, there's no cracks in this. It's not half full. At the brim, you could see the water in the pot. But when it came out of the pot, it was wine. You see, that's a good word. You got to understand, God doesn't fill you up halfway. He doesn't halfway. If you're saved, you're 100% saved today by the grace of God. People need to hear that. They keep thinking, well, I think I'm saved. No, you're saved by faith. Quit trying to earn it. God has told me that so many times. I got up this morning and go, I'm not worthy to go preach today, God. Mark, how many times do I tell you? Mark, can you preach my word? I'm like, God, do you really want me to preach your word with power and authority as if I really am saved? Isn't that silly? Yes. Because I either am or I'm not. Because I used to grovel around and try to worry about my past. Say, God, I'm not worthy to get in front of your people. And God basically said, stop it. Either my son set you free, Mark, or he didn't. So I get up every day and I said, God, I'm going to go forward and you've got to have my back. And you know what he does? To the death and to the grave, because I'm not trying to make people happy anymore. I quit. So if this world doesn't like me, as long as Jesus does, I'm good, Pastor. And he's protecting me every step of the way, and somehow I don't know how. Golly. So the outside of the pot didn't change. I kind of hope I have a little, Pastor. This week I'm down a few pounds, so maybe, I don't know if that happens. But I do think there's a transformation. I've actually seen the manifestation of the glory of God's people change physically. I mean, I've seen people that you literally, their countenance, you people walk in, you go, you ever been around Pastor Mark? Yeah, I'm going to brag on you, Pat. Pastor Mark does that. Well, Pastor Mark walks in, I just feel better. And I mean that. There's an anointing there. I've been around Jimmy Evans. I've been around people. And you watch people walk in and the countenance of people and the power of God come off them to the point you go, whew, you can feel that. You know, that's a powerful deal. I would love to be like that. At times I'm like, man, there's just no way, God. We keep ourselves short of that. But okay. So I want to go 2 Corinthians 4:15-17. For all things are for your sakes. Let me say this, and we're going to read this. This scripture just blew up at me. This is the one, a scripture I never had thought about. So let's read this with the Holy Spirit speaking to us today. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow, I've never read, you know what, I've read that scripture, I know I have, but it never spoke to me. You ever do that when you read the word? You read the word and I preach, read the word and stuff. Right. There's so much in there, Pastor, that could have been the scripture for the day. Yeah. We can't even go there. This is what, right, get off track, because I'm like, really? This light affliction that's only here for a moment? Because we're going to have eternity. And what am I doing under all these battles that I face? This instructs me that's going to far exceed in the eternal weight of glory when I go home to be with my Savior. This moment of time that we're here is just like a flash. That's what the Bible tells us. But as we go through another battle, I'm going, God, I don't want any more battles. This isn't fair, and I'm just going to sit around and pout about it because you're not a good God. You don't love me enough to just fix all my problems, God. And I'm like, so is this next battle a challenge for me that I actually are going to grow more because it's just building up this exceeding glory for me on the day of salvation or the day that I go home to be with the Lord? The answer would be yes by this scripture. We're only here for a moment. It's a vapor. And it's difficult because those moments get long. We've all been there, and we all battle, and we all struggle. And at times, I've had to hit my knees. You know, whatever time I've hit my knees, I'm going to say this, I've never regretted it. When I empty myself of self, and how many times we try to get up and get prideful in our own selves. I got this, God. I can do all this by myself. Stop it. God tells me stop that, Mark. Just because like, you can do some things. It's good. I gave you your abilities anyway. What are you going to do with them? I gave them to you in the first place. We get pretty proud of ourselves, and I want to say, God, it's true. God, thank you. And at times I look at all my weaknesses and I go, why am I bad at all of that, God? Like reading, it's one of the things I'm not very good at. But. Okay. Okay, the servants were not the change. And I want to bring this point out because I'm going to speak for Pastor Mark here, Pastor Dusty next week, I'll speak for Mark Shell, and anybody that brings this, okay, one of the keys I got were the servants were not the change. The servants were told, now get this, to take the water, put it in the buckets, and take it to the master of the feast. You know how much obedience that took? Are you kidding me? He's going to drink this and go, these guys have lost their mind. First of all, these guys had enough obedience to do that. Just give him some water. They were probably back there laughing. I mean, you and I have been laughing. Hey, we're going to take your water. Maybe I got a kick out of this because I was going, maybe he's drunk enough he won't be able to tell. Maybe they've drinking. You know, I don't mean that bad, but, you know, because if you read the scripture, they're talking about the full wine. They get at the end, they give them the other wine. So these guys are probably going, I don't know, this guy, he just may think it's wine still, you know. Oh, it's funny. So the servants delivered the wine. Pastors and elders are just the servants or the branches of the vine, Pastor. These servants just brought. See, God called me today. He called me in my life to bring the wine to you. I'm just a servant. He didn't give me anything else. And at times I thought, gosh, they're going to. You know, you ever? I grew up in the wrong church, Pastor. I looked at the pastor and go, man, he's just right there by Jesus. That guy's a perfect man. No, these pastors are servants and men. And they're always seeking God. And they're going through trials. And a lot of them are difficult. Because a lot of them, you know, the manifestation of the glory of God is really close to where it can get you over to your pride. And it can also pull you in directions that's difficult. And you can also ask God, why didn't I, God? Why didn't my son, why didn't my daughter, why didn't I win state? I go back to baseball because I can relate. But you see what I'm getting at? Because I know that God is that big, but when I get over my flesh, I'm going, God, fix my fleshly things. We all do that, right? Just need a little bigger house, God, I'd be okay. My pickup's got 220,000 miles. God, I need a new one. Mark, that one's fine. Drive it to Lydia back. You'll be just fine. You know, we kind of deal with that too. Jesus is responsible for the change. Okay, so John 15:5. I am the wine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The problem is I've heard and I've seen, I've witnessed, I think sometimes people may think it's about them. That's what's hard. Because you have to humble yourself before God. Wow. Okay, 5. Jesus saves the best for last. All right, I wrote this down. Because victory in our lives comes after our faith and obedience. The obedience to deliver water as wine to the master of the feast took faith. Okay, so here's the question God would ask you. He's asking you to do something today. And I'm going to tell you, are you bold enough to make a choice today? Because if you do, he'll meet you there. Somebody's going to take a step of salvation and maybe somebody at home and someone's going to really open up and they're going to change something. The transformation that Jesus has for you is right in front of you. We need to choose it, transform, and he's going to fill that void with new wine and replace the thing in your life that's holding you back from victory. That's his heart for us, right, Pastor? Yep. That is his heart for us. Here's what it would mean. It's your turn. Everybody's like, well, God, you're just not helping me out. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. He's waiting for you to get saved. I'm going to talk about Allie. Allie, you got saved. Jesus called you. Amen. And you said, okay. Wow, it's a powerful thing. And as you transform in life, it's going to keep coming. That was just recently she was baptized, so I wanted to bring that up. So we all do this. So what happens is, here's the deal. God, I'm tired because it's your turn to bless me again. And I'm just going to sit here and not make any changes. There's no transformation for me. Come on, God, give me some more. Amen? We do that. And I'm sitting there going, God, you want me to fix this again? I'm like, man, Carrie and I've really pressed in, God. We've tried. No, here's what somebody's saying. God, I've done that, and it was hard the first time. And God, you were so good in it, and you blessed me. You mean I got to start over with a new transformation? God always has a new work. He taught me through this message. He always has a new battle, and he wants to replace it with the new wine. He always has one. I'm like, God, am I going to get... Is 60 old enough, Pastor? We're 50 now. We're 51 now. I'm going, okay, I'm getting close. 50? 51, there you go. So we're getting to this point. I'm like, Ronnie, 55? Okay, 71. Do you get there at 71? Is 70 the number that you finally get there? Okay, so what guys, 120 is the number. So I was sitting there going, okay, there's a point in my life where I don't need to transform anymore. I think this is the confusion of human nature. When I was young, I'm like, gosh, I've arrived. I've written 3 books, and I pray for the kids, and I'm like, can that just? I mean, I'm telling off on myself. At some point, God, I'm tired. Is that enough? I mean, you see what I'm saying? Mark Ward's had this phase lately. Just me, I'm telling off on myself of just going. My kids are getting grown, and they're going to college. They're doing stuff, and they're really making it. And I'm so proud of who they are in Jesus and the victory that they have. And I'm kind of going, is that enough? And God was just kind of like, not even close, Mark. There's so much more glory I have for you. Please just keep pushing forward. And I love him enough, I'm going to, but at times I'm tired, Pastor. At times I'm tired. Confessions of a person in ministry right there, I'm tired. And I've been going through that phase here lately. But there's people that still need it. There's people that still need it. They still need to know God. They still need to know where the real victory's at. Because it'll take you all the way, not half the way. You want to get all the way in life. There's all these things that the world will throw at you to look good. But you take on the things that you want, the hearts and desire that you have inside of you, and you put Jesus with it. It's the only way, and the people that I've seen in my life that have reached all these destinies always had one thing in common. They knew Jesus as their Savior. Oh, because the other stuff is just junk that doesn't satisfy anybody. Just more junk. But at the end of the day, it's about who you are, not what you are. I got to say this. Teams, people, reaching your destiny, this and that, the little prize and the trophy will tell you what you are. You're a state champion. You're a this, you're a that. But you know, it doesn't tell you who you are. Because I've had teams that have failed miserably, and I've learned, and those kids have learned who they are, and there was more glory and impact for them becoming husbands and fathers than the ones that won the trophy and people told them what they are. You're a state champion. I had a team went 17 and 25, and there was more glory revealed to that group than any group I've ever had. And in a sports-minded town, someone needs to hear that. Because sooner or later, you'll have the right kids that can play well enough, and you'll win the whole thing. You will. It'll keep coming back up. But one thing we can do is we can bring them the wine. Wow, God just showed me, just keep bringing them the wine, Mark. Okay, I'm got to get going. Is everybody bored yet? Are we good? Okay, let's keep going just a little bit further, okay? So anyway, the key to this, or I'm going to go to Jesus saves the best for last. Hebrews 11:6. I always give scriptures out to my team sometime, and this one's one I give a lot. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. You ask me what my favorite scripture is, that's it, because if I diligently seek God, he's going to reward me, but it's going to be in the things of God and not of the things that I think it should be. And that's my favorite one. I'm just going to give a testimony to our team. It wasn't why we won. We won this district tournament. We had a difficult year. We were out 2 weeks, and we were up fighting the greatest challenge ever. And with these young guys, I gave them the 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Put that in your hat and remember that. And we all stuck them inside of our hats. And we brought them the wine. And that day we saw a manifestation of good things. Sometimes it's in winning games, sometimes it's not. But they got to hear the part of the gospel. They got to hear part of God's word. So I'm telling you, in your workplace and you're around people, all this works. Here's the thing, too. It's never let me down. You're never going to let me down, the songs that we sing. You know, you're never going to let me down. Guys, this book... so far is 100% right. Mark sometimes is wrong. Mark sometimes doesn't get it right. Neither do you. And you guys know what I'm saying. Okay, so we're going to conclude these four things today. Someone needs a change. What I did, or this is what I feel like it is, make a conclusion that I need to change. You do, we all do today. I have something in my own life, things in my own life I want to change today. Two, determine I can't do it alone. Okay? Can't do it alone or the way I've done it in the past. Jesus is that change. Whatever he says to do, do it. And to me, Pastor, that's become one of my most famous scriptures, favorite scriptures, is because I went through a place in my life, and I'm going to testify now, that on the bottom of myself, I didn't care about anything else, but I was going to do, God, exactly what you say. And I went to church every Sunday that Pastor Mark would preach, and I would run to the front because God was speaking to me. And everybody was like, that guy's getting saved every week. And that guy's the filthiest guy I know there is. And I was running that front, and you know what, guys? I didn't care who was there, Pastor. I didn't care a thing about it because I had tasted the good wine, and it was so good that I didn't care who knew. I didn't care what anybody thought about it. I'm going to meet God every day. I'm going to meet him every day, and I started going to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. It transformed my marriage, transformed my children, and saved them and put them on the path of righteousness. They're going to be husbands and fathers. They're going to have great victory in life. Even in the midst of their struggles, they cannot be defeated. There is no reason to quit. That's the motto that God gave me in ministry. There is no reason to quit, and I cannot be defeated with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. That's a powerful word. And someone needs to bury that in their heart and remember that and take it out of these doors and take it into real life because the world's ready to throw a sucker punch. And here's the deal. It won't be fair. It may be deserved. But our Savior's overcome the world. Okay. No matter what, I decided to follow him. Didn't care what anyone thought. Pastor Mark didn't care what everybody thought when I thought he was nuts. He was raising his hands down there at the deal. People thought I'd lost my mind. The Bible was 100% right. And I had changed inside, even though I'm not perfect every day. I'm pretty sure I messed up last week. So I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to close here. And we're going to pray. I'm going to have Pastor Mark, he's going to lead us. I want you to prepare your heart right now just for a moment and ask yourself, do you need the new wine today in something in your life? Because I started running church every day. You know what? If you will be obedient first and you'll make a conscious choice today in an area of your life and you'll repent of it, which means turn from it and go another direction, there will be a manifestation of glory in you based on God's word. And it may not be the way that you think it should be, but it'll be good. Amen. Faith pleases God, guys. He's calling us out today. Whatever he says to do to you, whatever he says to do today, just do it. They put the water in there and they said, I'm just going to do it. The first miracle was this transformation. Somebody needs that miracle today, and they need it for salvation. And they need it to start walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Amen. It's good scripture. Okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to have Pastor Mark come up. Pastor, today's that day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for your word, God. I thank you that today, God, you bring the good wine to us, Father. And God, even when we don't deserve it, God, just being, you know, in a position to preach your word today, God, I'm just thankful for my own salvation. Thankful for my family, my children. God, just what you have done in our lives. God, I thank you for the word today, God. Just be with everyone here as they continue this service and Pastor Mark leads us in this prayer, God, that your salvation and victory would take place by your word. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give Mark a big hand clap. That was a great word, brother. Amen. And it's been a joy to see Mark, how he has grown in the Lord. And Mark and I, we have talks about how Mark and we'll talk on the phone before games, big games and stuff. And I have to remind Mark, here's the deal: win or lose, God still loves you, you know. But I was praying extra hard that we would get out of districts. So I was like, I don't know if Mark can handle not getting out of districts as a coach. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But we joke about a lot of those things. But Mark, you know, Mark, I was just sitting over thinking, man, you know, I had a lot of coaches. We had a lot of coaches in high school, and I'm sitting here thinking, but we never had a one that shared scripture like you do with those young boys, putting 2 Timothy 1:7 in your hat. Win or lose, that scripture sticks with them for the rest of their lives, and they're going to take it over into their families. And I know you've had the opportunity to be able to lead or to do some of those guys' their weddings and stuff like that. I mean, I just want you to know your ministry is not about winning or losing. It's about impacting generations, and you're impacting your family. I mean, I see your boys, your daughter, I mean, serving God. I mean, that's the most, you're blessed, brother. That's what I want to say. You're blessed, and you're doing it right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I just want to make sure that before you leave here today, as Mark was talking about today, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I never take this lightly. We do this every Sunday here, but, you know, the Bible specifically says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, all right, I want everybody to stand up, and I want you to join hands with the person next to you, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hug somebody's neck and say, you're an overcomer. And Mark and Carrie, I want you to go back there and be Pastor Mark and Jada this morning, because I'm sure some people want to hug your neck.